First, we'll do the prayers and then we'll go through the questions. Om. Om. Om Sahana Vavatu Sahano Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastu Ma Vidvishavahai Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi Vakratunda Mahakaya Suryakoti Samaprabha Nirvignam kurume deva sarvakaryeshu sarvada Saraswati namastubhyam varade kamarupini vidyarambham karishyami siddhir bhavatu me sada akhanda mandalakaram vyaptam yena characharam tatpadam darshitam yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Gurur Brahma Gurur Vishnuhu Gurur Devo Maheshwaraha Gurureva Param Brahma Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Tvameva Mata Cha Pita Tvameva Tvameva Bandhuscha Sakha Tvameva Tvameva Vidya Dravinam Tvameva Tvameva Sarvam Mama Deva Deva Tvameva Sarvam Mama Deva Deva Samasta Janakalyane Niratam Karunamayam Namami Chinmayam Devam Sadgurum Brahma Vidvaram Yam Brahma Varunendra Rudra Marutaha Stunvanti Divyaistavai Vedai Sanga Padakramo Panishadai Gayanti Yam Samagaha Dhyanavasthitadadgatena manasa pashyanti yam yogino yasyantam navidusura suragana devaya tasmai namaha devaya tasmai namaha. Thus far, what we have seen is Bhagwan telling Arjun that knowledge is the greatest thing. And this knowledge of Atma, when you know it, you will have no grief. And without this grief, you will be ready to fight this war. So in order for you to overcome this grief, Arjun, just know that you are this truth. In the knowledge of the truth, he separates from the body. Body changes, body dies. The truth does not die. But even if we experience this changing nature is only in the realm of transaction, in our worldly situations. But outside of it, in the absolute, the transaction has no meaning. So in overall perspective, the transactions are meaningless. So understand this to be the truth. So now, if we have questions, We will go through those questions. Yes.
How important is it to achieve that state of mind before you can start to realize the ultimate truth or Brahman?
The Sthita Prajna Lakshana, which is at the end of this chapter, is showing the state that is achieved. And if one has not achieved, then it is a state to be aspired. But one does not act out of that state. Action is still based on our desires, our thinking. So when Bhagavan talks about this, this is for Arjuna only to know that in this stage, those who have come to this realization, how do they behave? How do they talk? How do they sit? And how do they speak? That becomes a state that those realized soul are at. And those who have not come to that stage, they can use that as a practice. But they cannot mimic the state. You can never mimic the state of Sthita Prajna, because it comes from within. But certain actions that they follow, we can follow to come to that end state. So I hope that kind of answers your question. I don't know if it was satisfactory. Okay. It certainly can be achieved, because the place where we have seen no I-ness is where we have experienced, or not no mindness, is where we have experienced greater joy. If you place yourself in a situation where the mind is distracted by the thought of the ego, then the certain expectations that relate to that, I have to finish this, or I need to focus on this, then that becomes a distraction for the mind. So there again, your peace has been taken away. But where the mind has given up this minus, and is continuing the action, then more effort has been placed towards the action and towards what I get out of the action, because mind is not distracted. And it is certainly possible. I'm trying to think of some examples where we have seen this level of dropping of mindness. Where there is no my, yet there is still a lot of joy. Well, it comes, I'll tell you. Right now, nothing is coming. But how practical it is? We can only drop the minus when there is no I. Because only related to I is the my. When I say that I am this person, then for me is whatever is associated with this. So say if I say I am an acharya of the mission, then for me is these white clothes or the table, the chair, the speaker system. Once I associate my I somewhere else, I have to give this up. I cannot say I have to take this table home because it belongs to me. I cannot say that. I'm an acharya of this mission. I have to take this home because this is mine. I cannot do that. We have to change it. We have to drop that off. A very good example that Guruji gives. We all travel by flight, correct? And when you travel by flight, you're given a seat number, correct? And somebody sitting on the seat. So you tell them what? Hey, this is my seat. Here is my ticket number. I need to sit here. You please find your other seat, correct? I have identified myself with the traveler, so when I travel, I know that this is my seat. Once the travel has over and I reached or landed, then I don't start unscrewing the chair and say, I'm taking this with me. Why? Because it says my seat number. This is my seat. I cannot claim that because it was only for the sense of travel. My I-ness has to drop there and then I move forward. So the idea here was that wherever there is I-ness, minus will be there. So dropping minus only is not possible. I-ness also has to go with it. But if I drop minus, then what do I do is I place that I-ness into Bhagavan as an instrument. So I am the instrument, so mine is not the receipt. So what I receive is not me because I was the instrument. So it is it's changing the I-ness somewhere else. And when you do that, you don't carry any burden. You don't carry any weight. If you all work, I don't know which level, but if you are at a stage, not in a management making decision level, but just at a employee level, and at that stage, you're just carrying out the tasks and jobs and things that have been assigned to you. It becomes very easy. I do my job, finish, and go home. But then somebody says, from now on, you have to manage the whole business. Your tension becomes more. I have to manage my business. Before, I was doing such a great job because I was not focused on I have to manage in my job. And I was coming up with great ideas, great things. But now the boss gave me a new job. I have to manage. So now in order for me to do that, I find that I'm struggling. Those innovative ideas are no longer coming because the I-ness came, the minus came with it. So therefore, wherever we find, there is more joy when the minus is not there, I-ness is not there. Say your question again. Should I change according to the circumstance? No. Okay, because you are saying that the I-ness is not there in the... But I-ness, we don't have to change. It changes on its own. Exactly, the I-ness is the ego, it changes on its own. According to the circumstances, it changes. But here I don't have to change anything. We are saying not to change the I, not to change the my, drop both the I and drop both the my. To whom he is fighting? His relatives. But he has to drop the I, saying that I am the one fighting. He has to drop this understanding that I am not the one fighting.
In chapter 11, Bhagavan tells Arjuna that these are already killed. You are just an instrument.
Yes.
Don't think that you are killing, because even if you decide not to fight, they are already killed. I will kill them. If you decide to fight, I will kill through you, and you will get the glory of winning the war, and you will get the punya and the rajya. But even if you decide not to fight, I have already decided I will kill them. They are going to be killed because you are just an instrument.
Yes.
That's the idea, that you are the instrument and the...
He is fighting for it. He is also fighting for some reason. Might be, these are also his brothers. Pandavas, maybe Pandavas, right? He should have the mindness and he should have some clearness to his brothers. That's why he is fighting. And he is having the same clearness. The thing is, just because his duty is to fight, Krishna is telling you just for that they are brothers and sisters and everything.
No, that's not the point Bhagavan is saying. Bhagavan is not saying to Arjun that forget about relationship. Bhagavan is saying that do not use the idea of relationship to make you weak at this stage.
Wrong. So it's...
Yes, and if it is hard for us to think that I have to drop the I and the my, easier thing to do is place the I in Bhagavan. Place the I in Bhagavan. So what we are doing is, I am surrendering the me to you, Bhagavan. So I don't have to deal with any of this.
But you're not forsaking your duty.
You're continuing the duty. Yes. Action at the physical level is not to be stopped. You continue. When we say minus that I have to drop, it is not I have to give up this. It is the association I have built mentally that this belongs to me. That is what I have to cut. Yes.
Rajasic and tamasic renunciation is giving up of action. So it's the opposite. It's counterintuitive to people.
Yes.
To add to what she was saying, dropping the I is the same as minusing emotions from your beliefs.
it is not minusing ourselves from the emotions or the duties. Emotions will continue. Our duties also should continue. But where I am associating myself with that emotion, that this emotion is my identity, that is what we are dropping. No, not dropping the emotion. Saying that, okay, I have a new phone. Imagine this is a new phone. I have a new phone. And this association that I have built with this new phone, that association is giving me pleasure. All I am doing is telling my mind that this phone and the association is not giving me pleasure. The joy is coming from me, the self. So stay focused more on self, but still keep playing with this. But as I play with it, I should know that I'm only playing. This is not giving me joy. Joy is within. Joy is the self that is giving. This is just a trigger point. But trigger is not real. This is not real. If this were not real, if the self, the I were not real, the Atma were not real, none of this would have been possible.
I understand that it's a temporary thing that we talked about, right? All of this thing is temporary, so we should be attached and all that. But to a point, it's like, okay, motherly duties are to feed food, you know, to your kids, and give it, but don't you love them to them? Like, because as soon as you feel all this attachment, that's where the my kid and all of that comes in. But if you're just serving food without emotions, then like, all right, I did my duty.
But that's not the understanding. The understanding is, if you take the example of a mother, the motherhood itself tells that you are compassionate, you are loving. So your emotions, you cannot say that because I'm following knowledge, I have to drop these emotions. You show these emotions. But when these emotions come to effect is when the child is going to college, or at that time you feel like, no, no, I am going to also follow you to the college. I am going to stay with you next door, or I am going to make sure I come and visit you. Smothering that attachment, when you know it is an attachment and when you know it is a love, is when the attachment is bothering you. The relations or the emotions start to bother us. The loss of that relation is bothering. Yes.
It's the part of growing up, so to speak. So it is an inevitable cause of what your actions were. You raised them to go and make them independent, to go to college. Now, it is for you to let them go and be independent, and you be there when they need. So they can come to you, but you don't
feel. I get all that. So I'm just talking from a, there was an example, like in our distant family, someone's young child of 34 years, just like 1 month back, passed away for different reasons. But so the mother, at this point, does she have to feel detached? Like, she's super religious.
No, no.
But like, she has to feel the emotions that she has.
Yes.
To add, right?
Absolutely.
And that is normal, and that's not being.
Yes. Sthita prajna, again, as I was saying, the sthita prajna does not mean you are emotionless. Sthita prajna, prajna means.
The minus, right? Like my child has, like, if somebody,
yes.
You hear the news all the time, some calamity happened and 200 people died. You don't cry over it, right? You don't miss out on your plans that easy. But if your child passes away at 34 years of age, you're going to feel a bigger emotion because you're attached more, right?
Absolutely. But that, what you are combining two thoughts is what I'm saying, are not there. What you are saying is, should a person feel emotion? Yes, definitely a person should feel emotion. But then you are saying, then is that person not sthita prajna? Not necessarily. Sthita prajnata is, prajna means intelligence. And the intelligence is based on where you have considered your I to be. The person who is sthita prajna, that jivan mukta, he is saying, he or she is saying that that I-ness is not, if I can use this, that I-ness is not this, the PFT, says that this is the I. And because this is the I, the emotions that are felt are only at the transactional level, so I show the emotions. But just because I show the emotions, that doesn't mean I am lost. I've suffered a great loss at this level. I've only suffered a loss at this level. This loss has not happened.
So then, this your example, this mother also that lost a child 34 years old, and the same thing with this other mother. If this person is able to get over all that loss within, let's say, a couple of months, versus the other one's like depressed for the rest of her life, which one is more difficult?
Well, you can never ever get over somebody's loss. You can only learn to cope with it.
I cannot tell which one would be sthita prajna, because sthita prajna is not shown by what their emotions are. Sthita prajna is shown by in their actions, in whatever other actions they do, are they bringing this emotion back into it? You go back and conversate with people, and as you conversate with people, you come and break down all of a sudden. You're never willing to look past. Sthita prajna has not happened because you're still living at this stage. This PFT is always worried about the OET, objects, emotions, and thoughts. So therefore, you will always come and associate that emotion all the times. And that is what we call as emotionalism. You're living in your emotions only. You're not going beyond it. A sthita prajna is one who understands that there is an emotion that happened, and I know that I have experienced this emotion, but as I carry on my other tasks, I will fulfill those tasks. And where I need to show my emotion for this, I will show. Sthita prajna has a totally different understanding. It is at a stage of intelligence at a thinking level, which is very different from emotion. Because emotions are more of external things prompting us to emit certain things out of our mind. Whereas intelligence tells you, no, this does not require at this stage. Arjuna was told that this is not required for you at this stage. What was Arjuna's decision from this war? I want to take up sannyas. I don't know which one is better, me getting killed or them killing us. This was the thinking that Arjuna came up with. So if that thinking is there, Bhagavan says, you're crying and grieving over things that which you should not grieve. So he's bringing his emotions, the PFT, in everything. And this is where we find the minus and I-ness. And when we say drop it, is we are saying then be detached with all of this and only be associated with this, the Om.
The main thing is, I think, as this knowledge sinks in, those things automatically happen.
Yes, but the idea was, is it practical?
Very practical.
It is practical.
Because all the realized people are the proof of the practicality. They can live a normal life.
Correct. I would be wrong to say that it is not difficult. If I say, no, it is not difficult, you can easily do it, that would be wrong to say. Why it is wrong to say? Because if a mind has not trained itself to drop the minus, it will not easily do it. As the example being brought about of a mother and the attachment of the mother with the child, the attachment was such a level that now that emotion has become so mixed up that I would feel so separated from this child and I don't want to separate myself. That becomes very difficult. Then you cannot easily give that up. But for somebody who has practiced this, then it becomes easy to drop the minus. You take the example of all the gopis. They were separated from Krishna. Correct? So they felt that emotion that, you know, we have been separated from Krishna. Krishna is now in Mathura and we are all here in Vrindavan. And then Uddhavji goes. And Uddhavji sees all these gopis and he doesn't seem that they don't seem that sad. And he asks, why, what happened? You know, Krishna is there, you are here, you don't feel that, separation? He says, we do. But Bhagawan is with us all the time. So therefore, we never feel that he has left us here from Vrindavan. So when you are able to go beyond attachment, then you are fine without that person physically being present with you. It doesn't mean that you have not stopped, you have stopped thinking about them. It also doesn't mean that you don't care about the emotions. All of those are valid, but you're moving on with your life, keeping them in your memories. And by keeping them in your memory doesn't mean that that is only your life. There are more things in your life that you are doing. This is the idea of one who is dropping that minus. Yes?
Can one drop the minus without bhakti?
They are kind of similar. It's not... minus can be dropped with knowledge also. Minus can be dropped with bhakti also. They're not different paths. Both, all are required. Because when you are dropping the minus, you are surrendering your ego. So there you need devotion. But how can you surrender if you don't have a knowledge? So certain time knowledge is also required to surrender and certain time devotion is also required to surrender. One who surrenders, a devotee, who surrenders to Bhagawan, first is called bhakta because for him dropping is easy. So he dropped it. Then he gets the knowledge later on because he has trusted Bhagawan that Bhagawan will take care of him. A Jnani doesn't do that. Jnani will take the I to the end. I am the one who is meditating on this Om. That I will carry till that. And then finally at the last moment will say and surrender, I drop. So we cannot truly say that when surrender happens, it is only bhakti. Knowledge also is part. So cannot dissect that surrender is bhakti.
Also, the word bhakti has a certain connotation. Unless you have bhakti for self-knowledge, you will not tread the path and give up all the contrasting attractive maya. To give up attractive maya and pursue self, you need bhakti for that goal of achieving the self-knowledge and realization. Otherwise, you will not pursue. You will not put forward your effort. It will be bookish, and you will not wholeheartedly see what I understand is there is a conscious mind and a subconscious mind, and vasanas are all in the subconscious mind, and they don't move until you moves your emotion. Intellect only moves your conscious mind. To move your subconscious mind and convert your anatma vasanas into atma vasanas, you need emotion. If you don't use emotion, it doesn't reach deep enough to do the cleansing for you. So basically, that's what happens in deep meditation also. You reach deep inside and it cleanses you. So bhakti and dhyana are two wings. You can't not have one or the other. You won't be able to.
If you read Gurudev's Meditation and Life, you will see there Gurudev talks about in meditation also, you are using devotion towards Bhagwan and surrendering this I. Because even if you're in meditation and you keep thinking, I am the one meditating, the purpose will not be achieved.
Dissolving the individuality is the goal, then you become the whole, right?
Some good questions. I think you had good chai. Sorry, say one more time. Sthita Prajna, or yeah, the person who is Sthita Prajna, has so much bhakti. So we cannot say that they don't have bhakti. They are filled with bhakti. The idea of bhakti is when the faith that we are calling, that faith is not simply an understanding that Bhagwan is there and he is going to take care of me. The faith is that I have a connection with Bhagwan, and out of that connection, I am only worshipping Bhagwan for that sake. Yesterday I was reading this, this thought about a saint from, I think she's from, I don't know which, from Israel or something. Her name was Rabia. She was one of the greatest saint of olden times. So she said, she is a Sufi saint. So she wrote all these things in Quran. So she said in her ways that Bhagwan or Allah, if I worship you out of the fear of hell, then make sure you put me in hell. If I worship you out of the fear of hell, make sure you put me in hell. If I worship you out of an expectation for paradise, make sure you deny me that paradise. And if I worship you out of the sake for only you, then will you not grant me the ultimate state? That was her stand. That is what is bhakti. Where there is nobody other than you and there is nothing. There is no expecting that is there. But in bhakti, you are also not there. Only Bhagwan is there. That is the highest level of bhakti. Where you are worshipping, but you, the worshipper, is not there. You cannot find. Only Bhagwan is there for you. Everything, everywhere is Bhagwan. That is the highest form of bhakti. But bhakti also means this idea that I am reaching out to that supreme power which I have come to trust based on my experience, that certain things that I was doing in my life just all of a sudden came true. I didn't do anything, yet it fell in place and it made things much easier for me. I was expecting it, but I never did anything to get it, and I got it. And at that time, a light bulb clicks in the person that there is a higher power, there is a divine person or divine self that is guiding. And with that faith, one looks at Bhagwan, that you are this divine self. That is faith. That is bhakti. And in that bhakti, then person goes on doing all other things that they would want to do. Ah, yes. So, from next week onwards, Uncle Ji, Auntie Ji will be here. So, they will start the next topic of Bhagavad Gita. And thus far what we have seen, I will just give you a short idea that Bhagavan is telling Arjun that come to understand the knowledge of your own self. Because when you know this knowledge, you will have nothing else left to grieve over. You don't have to cry over it. Because your understanding about yourself will be something else. Having understood this, then you can easily fight. But if you have not understood, how do you bring yourself to this knowledge? Then you start doing karma yoga. So that understanding of karma yoga will come. And then other things related to this. I was telling the Bhajagovindam class, the shloka we were doing, Bhagavad Gita, Kinchid Adhita. Do a little bit of adhyayan of Bhagavad Gita. We are fortunate that our Guru has given us this Bhagavad Gita in English, translated in such a way that nothing was lost in translation. All the knowledge has still been carried on. All we have to do is study the Bhagavad Gita diligently, understand it. Because when we understand it, kriyate tasya yamena na charcha. Such a person doesn't have to talk to Yamaraj at all. Such a person doesn't have to go and meet Yamaraj in the Yamaloka. He is completely freed. Just a little bit of adhyayan of Bhagavad Gita. And this is coming from who? The same Shankaracharya who wrote Bhashya on Bhagavad Gita. He is the one who is writing. You don't have to study all my Bhashya. You just study just a little bit of Bhagavad Gita. That itself will help you cross across this samsara. So with this understanding, you should study Bhagavad Gita. Let the Bhagavad Gita settle in instead of unsettling ourselves with Bhagavad Gita. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shantihi. Hari Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha. Hari Om.